Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to be back with you here in the 7 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. We got some great guests that are going to join us in person here as we're broadcasting live from Zootown Hardware in Gardens in the Garden City of Missoula. And yeah, we're going to have open microphones here for most of the morning. So if anybody's listening in Missoula right now on the app, come on and see us. I know we've got, Adam Hertz, who's he was one of the lone conservatives on the Missoula City Council. He's also the son of State Senator Greg Hertz. Great guy, well connected here in real estate and business. And then, of course, still has his finger on the pulse with politics. He's going to pop in the 8 o'clock hour. Now the lone conservative on the Missoula City Council, Sandra Vasica, is going to come join us as well. So, and then Chief Chris Clem, this Border Patrol chief who's headlining these border security rallies, is, I think, going to pop in the 9 o'clock hour and much more. So, we've got a great lineup coming for you here. Of course, starting with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, great to have you on the show this morning. And what's the good news you want to start with this morning?
Well, we could not possibly overlook the fact that this weekend, High Country Coca-Cola held the grand opening of its brand new leading edge manufacturing center in Billings. The $100 million plant will employ 100 people, which is about 50 more than they did before. They were previously a distributor. They didn't manufacture product here. And so this is a huge boost to the company's payroll. And the company will produce, this is amazing, 450 varieties of soft drinks and other beverages, which will be distributed over a multi-state area that they serve. And this is High Country's second manufacturing facility. It's the first and only one in Montana, and the company's largest capital investment to date. The company, High Country Bottling, was founded in 1956. The Coca-Cola Bottling Company is a fourth-generation family-owned bottler serving over 2.4 million customers in Colorado, Minnesota, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. The president and CEO of the South Dakota-based company, M. Trevor Messenger, presided over the ceremonies and greeted Governor Greg Gianforte and other dignitaries. And they talked about it took 10 years from the planning of this facility to its completion.
Yeah, well, that's remarkable. Hold that thought, Evelyn, if you can. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. But we've got a full story on our Montana Talks website. Our producer, Travis Lee, actually went to the ribbon cutting ceremony on Friday. But not just a great business story, but a great family story, it sounds like, as well. So we'll come back to that right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats in Congress are worried about a potential far-right agenda in 2025. So they've launched a task force to start fighting the proposal and stop it from taking hold if the former Republican president returns to power. Democratic California Representative Jared Huffman is unveiling the Stop Project 2025 task force. The Democratic-led task force comes as groups on and off Capitol Hill are increasingly alarmed over Project 2025. It's a sweeping blueprint from the Conservative Heritage Foundation that is preparing to quickly help staff a new GOP administration. The operation could result in the former president installing loyalists at federal agencies and dismantling parts of the federal government. Kevin Roberts is the president of the Heritage Foundation and Heritage Action for America. He scoffed at this as a, quote, unserious effort. Huffman's group is made up of about a half dozen House Democratic lawmakers in a loose coalition separate from party leadership. It plans to begin briefing fellow lawmakers about Project 2025 and hold forums on Capitol Hill to inform voters about its ideas. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies with lows from the mid to upper 50s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for more sunshine with highs in the mid and upper 80s across the region. Skies stay clear Tuesday night with lows in the mid and upper 50s. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Are bump stocks legal again or what? The U.S. Supreme Court decision last week affecting the ban on the devices by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, still usually called ATF, has left many wondering what the future will hold. The court ruling is a bit narrow and doesn't mean that bump stocks could never be banned. It just means that such a ban needs to be the result of Congress legislating and not bureaucrats making rules. And that's why Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the New York Democrat, is bringing the matter up for a vote. President Biden called for such measures following the court ruling, though it seems unlikely such a bill could pass in the GOP-controlled House of Representatives. But if it did, someone could certainly sue for its repeal. Bump stocks remain banned by at least 16 states from red to blue, both like New York and Florida. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here as we get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn, yeah, you were talking about just, I mean, this is massive. I think it's, for those of us who read news all the time, sometimes it's easy to just scroll through headlines, but I was reading Governor Greg Gianforte's press release, and man, I mean, $100 million facility, they're going to be bottling, what did you say, was that 450? How many different beverages are they going to be bottling there at this bottling plant, and then so many employees? And this is a family business for decades, going back several decades. I thought that was the coolest part, too, is that not only is this a massive investment, big bottling plant here in Montana, but it's a big family story as well.
Yeah, it's really, they're really a small family business, you know, but it's huge for Billings. And they pointed out numerous steps that it took to get this off the ground. And it required a great deal of cooperation from Billings entities like Big Sky Economic Development and the city council and county commissioners, because they located in an area that's relatively undeveloped and didn't have a lot of infrastructure to it. And the city of Billings agreed to go ahead and build out that infrastructure, which is probably going to serve Billings even more, because it is encouraging other companies to locate out there. And apparently there's already interest coming from potential investors who do want to locate there. And they had some hurdles that Big Sky Economic Development helped them get over. And of course the county has their tax abatement program, which helps make such ventures more affordable for startups. So it was a huge community event or achievement.
Yeah.
And so, but in other news, and this has got to be every bit as important, Yellowstone County News was named the best newspaper in Montana in its size category by the Montana Newspaper Association, which held its annual gathering this past weekend. Now, I report for Yellowstone County News, so this is really, you know, a big coup for everybody who works there. There are four categories of awards that are based upon circulation numbers, and the winners of the other categories were the Boulder Monitor, Shoto Acantha, and the Daily Interlake. And The award was a real surprise for Jonathan and Tana McNiven, who own the Yellowstone County News, which is published weekly out of their location in Huntley. And, you know, they were surprised. You work every day and scramble to meet deadlines, and you don't focus a lot to consider things like competition. So Jonathan only started thinking about this when he was notified by the Newspaper Association that Yellowstone County News had placed in 17 categories in the annual contest, and which were judged this year by journalists in Utah. So, and in those 17 categories, Yellowstone County took 9 first place awards.
That's great. Yeah. Well, hats off to Jonathan and his wife and the whole team and contributors like you. Yeah, it's a great publication, and we get it delivered to our studios every time it comes out. And I know our friends Mark and Paul down the hall are always scanning it as well. I did see also Larry Mayer, the great photographer. He got some awards for his spy balloon photos. So congrats to Larry Mayer. He's one of the good guys in the business as well. Real quick, back to that Coca-Cola bottling plant story. This is kind of funny. So Tim in Billings had messaged us maybe a week or so ago. He said, "Hey, I keep hearing that there's going to be a new Amazon, a big Amazon facility out there off of I-90 in the Billings area as well." You know, they opened up a big Amazon facility here in Missoula, where I'm broadcasting live from today. And you had kind of a funny response. You said, "You keep hearing the same thing, but nobody will confirm nor deny the either way," right?
Yeah, everybody always goes, I mean, they kind of confirm it that yes, but they're not supposed to say that. They're just supposed to say it's a warehouse facility. And, you know, that's just puzzling, you know, because, and they have also opened one in Belgrade. So, yeah, I don't know what the big intrigue there is.
Just come out and say it already, right? Yeah, it's like, you're already here, you're already there. Come on now, give us the scoop, give us the goods. All right, well.
Among business owners or businesses, you know?
I saw the same thing in government with military and some of these, you know, various agencies. Oh, you know, these guys over here are like super secret squirrely about something and think they're like the coolest guys in the world. And it's like, you realize these guys just gave that public briefing yesterday. It was on the Today Show on Monday, for Pete's sake, you know, but you got to, ooh, got to be very quiet about this. Well, good for you, buddy. But the other guys just squirted it all over the place. All right, hold that thought. Evelyn Pyburn, always great to have you on the show here. Hey, I want to give a shout out to another Montana business that people travel from all across the United States to come see these guys, because they are they're so good at what they do. If you're somebody who, you know, you've got dentures in your mouth right now and they just bug the you-know-what out of you, you want to go out for dinner without, you know, worrying about what you eat. Well, I'll tell you what, if you get these dental implants, from Yellowstone Family Dental, you can go to MontanaDentalImplants.com to learn more. But I'm telling you what, you can go out to dinner after you get these things put in. You can get a steak for dinner. These guys are that good, and their technology is that good.
Quick break. Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
As the media speculation intensifies over this week's CNN debate between President Biden and Donald Trump, the former president and his allies have been denigrating Biden for months. He doesn't know where he is. He's confused. He doesn't have the mental acuity. He can't string two sentences together. All of which has lowered expectations to the point where if Biden comes out, is reasonably cogent, and doesn't walk into the curtains, the media will declare him the winner. Now, I don't understand this strategy, but apparently Trump realizes he went too far. So in an interview, he said, well, you know, Biden is a worthy debater. And when he debated Paul Ryan in 2012, he destroyed the guy. Well, I don't know if it's too late to change course, but both men are rusty. Neither has debated in 4 years. However, Trump does interviews all the time. Biden basically avoids the press. That could give Trump a slight edge. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies with lows from the mid to upper 50s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for more sunshine with highs in the mid and upper 80s across the region. Skies stay clear Tuesday night with lows in the mid and upper 50s. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Giving a loan to a family member or friend can be a tricky situation and could raise just as many problems than trying to solve. Oftentimes, loans between family members, perhaps from an older person to their children or grandchildren, may be best with the help of financial advisors. Financial experts also say think through all the various scenarios that could arise after the loan is agreed to, like potentially causing damage to your relationship. Before you loan money, determine if it would put a strain on your finances. But if you have a sizable emergency fund, little or no debt, and a steady paycheck, making a loan might not be as difficult depending on the size. It's also important to think about how likely you are to get the money back. If the person is responsible about paying their bills and experiencing a one-time financial crisis, being paid back might not be an issue. However, if it's someone with a history of being financially irresponsible, that could be a bigger risk. So loaner, beware. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Republican U.S. Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Roger Marshall of Kansas are pressing the Biden administration on the steps it's taking to address the recent surge of used cooking oil imports. Last year, the U.S. imported 3 billion pounds of used cooking oil, half of which came from China. That's up a total of 200 million pounds imported in 2020. The senator sent a letter to the EPA, USDA, and U.S. Trade Representative's office, along with Customs and Border Protection. They point out concerns by some in the renewable fuels industry that large amounts of imported UCO may be a blend of UCO with virgin vegetable oil, such as palm oil, which is directly linked to deforestation in Southeast Asia. They say that would constitute fraudulent value distortion of the commodity designed to take advantage of tax incentives, in addition to renewable identification number fraud under the renewable fuel standards. They want to ensure the integrity of clean fuel policies for U.S. farmers. In other news, U.S. sales of four-wheel drive tractors increased just under 10% in May compared to last year, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The increase follows April's uptick of 24% compared to a year before. The data also indicates U.S. year-to-date sales of four-wheel drive tractors up 3.2%. I'm Lane Nordland.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so apparently these are national numbers, and they came up with the best-run cities in America, the best-run cities in America. And they're claiming that these two cities made the top list for best run cities in America. And they're claiming it was these two towns. I don't know. I got to find out how they calculated these numbers, especially talking with folks here in Missoula, because they're like, man, we got some stuff to clean up around here. Anyway, we'll get to that story here in just a second. But yeah, just before the break, I was telling you, hey, if you're somebody who's got dentures or you've got, you know, you just got some teeth that you're, you know, it's, you don't want to smile because of your teeth. You're embarrassed by your teeth. You're probably the only one that really worries about them. Everybody else may not care, but you care. And you care so much that you'd love to get your whole set of teeth replaced with these dental implants. I'm telling you, Yellowstone Family Dental, they are the specialists. People travel from across Montana. They travel from across the country to get dental implants here. The website, again, is MontanaDentalImplants.com. MontanaDentalImplants.com. All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. So, Evelyn, you saw these stories, in fact, in the Missoulian today here in Missoula. Missoula, one of the best-run cities in America. It's like, I don't know about that one. But who ran the numbers, and why are they claiming that not just Missoula, but Billings is one of the best-run cities in America?
Right. And when you think about it, two out of the thousands of towns and cities across the United States, two from Montana, when they're naming just 20 of the top, that's pretty impressive. They said that the factors considered in the rankings were the quality of city services and the total budget per capita. And interestingly, Idaho also had two of the cities, and they were number one and two, and that was Nampa, Idaho, and Boise, Idaho. So, and Missoula ranked 15th and Billings 16th in a very tight comparison.
Huh. So when they judge them on their total budget per capita, so were they saying, if you have a bigger budget per capita, basically, were they rewarding these cities and claiming that that makes them a better run city by just having a bigger budget per capita? Or was it?
I would think it's the other way, that they did this on a lower budget. But, you know,
they
weren't that specific, to tell you the truth.
Where did the numbers come from? It's probably in the hot sheet this morning. I glanced at the hot sheet briefly, but I need to go give it a better glance later today.
Well, it comes from Wallet Hub in the comparison. But I ran across it first on some, we won't mention any names, but a radio talk show website.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, that's okay. Yep. No, we love crediting all sources around here. Yeah. In fact, it's kind of fun being here in Missoula. You know, it's Peter Christian does a great job. I mean, Peter Christian is like the golden voice on the radio airwaves in Montana. I mean, I don't know if you will find a better radio voice than Peter Christian. And so, you know, even though we work for the same company, he's on KGVO here in Missoula. I'm on KMPT, the Patriot here in Missoula, but Peter just does such an incredible job, and he's got over 50 years in broadcasting now, so congratulations to Peter on that front. You know what I'm amazed by, Evelyn, here? I know we only got about a minute or so left here before we get to the Fox News update, but what I think is so cool is, you know, I'm here at a hardware store in Missoula. We're at Zootown Hardware, and that's where we ended up doing the show from today by chance, you know, chat with some friends. Hey, where'd be a great place to do the show from? They said, oh, you got to check out this new hardware store, Zootown Hardware. And, you know, one of the owners, military veteran, who made it back home to Montana after over 20 years in service. I'm going to be at Metals in Butte for a lunchtime event on Thursday. Military veteran running the place there. And it's for me, as a military veteran, it's so cool to see our fellow veterans coming home and becoming entrepreneurs. I just think it's so incredible. And it just reminds me of this Senate race. You know, Tim Sheehy is another great veteran entrepreneur. And yet these veteran entrepreneurs oftentimes get attacked, you know, even though they spent how many years serving their country, right?
Right. Well, and Montana's supposed to have, I don't know if it's the most veterans or per capita the most veterans, but Montana is full of veterans. And veterans have proven themselves to be very good entrepreneurs. And it's one reason I think the state should change its laws to give veterans some kind of tax break on their retirement pay and stuff. Because we should be attracting more of those people, because we need those kind of entrepreneurs here.
That's right. We started that in the last legislative session. They got a tax incentive across the finish line, but there's another. They want to go even further in the upcoming legislative session. Well said. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Make sure you sign up for the hot sheet and the print edition as well. Great statewide information, business news you can't find anywhere else.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. NASA denies that the Boeing Starliner astronauts are stranded at the International Space Station with helium leaks disabling one thruster on its shakedown flight. NASA postponed the crew's return for troubleshooting, but maintains they can still undock and return home in an emergency. President Biden holed up in debate prep at Camp David for Thursday's CNN presidential debate. Big buildup from Donald Trump, who says he's picked his VP candidate in his mind. Apparently not South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who admits to Meet the Press she did not get the VP vetting papers.
He needs to help someone, pick someone that will help him win. And I think that President Trump is in a fantastic position to win this election. He's strong. He's right on all the policies.
Buckingham Palace says King Charles' 73-year-old sister, Princess Anne, suffered a concussion on an estate. Her medical team said head injuries consistent with impact from a horse's head or legs. America is listening to Fox News.
radio right now. You know, 970 KBUL Billings, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and then 1370 KFL Southwest Montana's talk leader, of course, pushing very close to Dillon, Montana. And then later in the day, you know, we got Great Falls and Kalispell that join us starting the 8 o'clock hour, and then the rest of the state, including right here in Missoula in the 9 o'clock hour. So, but I know we got a lot of folks listening statewide on the Montana Talks app as well, but most of our Missoula friends will be joining us later in the morning. So it's a nice surprise. James Brown, who is currently the president of the Montana Public Service Commission, Dillon, Montana native. He is also, of course, now a candidate, the Republican candidate, the Republican candidate for state auditor here in Montana. Hey, James, great to see you. Thanks for popping in.
Yeah, good morning. This was a good opportunity to come see you. I just happened to be in town. We were talking a little bit off the air that both you and I are alumni of the University of Montana. And for Aaron's listeners, I want to kind of describe his setup here. He's got a little laptop that says Eat Beef and Lamb, which hits home for me, as you know, because I represented the wool growers for years. So thanks for promoting the product. He's got a little sign that says Zootown Hardware and Garden. He's got a Zootown hat. He's got, looks like a blue heron shirt on, maybe. So,
yeah, this is my, it's my gardening shirt. Yeah. Yeah, this is like the closest thing to a golf shirt that I have, and I can't really golf that well. But, yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, so you and I are both, you know, we're University of Montana alumni, and you know, a lot of us who get into, you know, politics and things like that, you know, kind of go through the University of Montana. Even Attorney General Austin Knutson, who's one of the biggest Bobcats we know, still went to the University of Montana Law School. So, but it's kind of funny. So here at Zootown Hardware, Damon was kind of joking earlier. He's like, yeah, we got a lot of celebrities here. I was like, well, I'm not a celebrity, but Touchdown Tommy Malott was even in here at the Zootown Hardware. So it's kind of funny. I mean, obviously he's the Bobcat great football quarterback, but he was here in Grizz country at Zootown Hardware. But I think wasn't he dating like a Grizz cheerleader or something? So maybe that's what brought him to town. I don't know. Well, and he's a Butte kid too. So, you know, Butte kids can go anywhere they want.
Yes,
so there's that kind of respect all across Montana. You're in town. It's the State Funeral Directors Association, something like that, right?
Yeah, this is a topic I'm sure most of your listeners don't think about much, but I am in town. The Montana Funeral Directors Association is having their convention, so I'm stopping by there, and your listeners may be wondering what they're interested in. The first thing, and picking up on what you were talking about, Missoula being one of the best-run cities, so I can tell you that I was talking to the owner of the funeral home here in Missoula last night, and he was describing the fact that every time that they come in the morning, they have to shoo homeless people away from their funeral home.
Same thing everywhere. That's what everybody's saying. Yeah, it's even in the really fancy, nice downtown district, they're like, oh, yeah, we got to lock the doors at a certain time or we'll just get overrun with transients. All right, Jim Brown, hold that thought. We'll talk more with Jim Brown here coming up right after the break, live from Missoula.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to come back to Jim Brown here in just a second. But first, we got some messages on our Montana Talks app that have been kind of piling up here, and I want to get to them. Lori in Billings asked a very good question. Lori's question is this. Please explain the push for people to vote early instead of the day of the election. What does it matter? That's a good question, because Republicans and President Trump are encouraging more people to vote early. Typically in the past, you know, our folks were typically your same day. You know, we want to vote on election day. We're just, you know, patriotic. We love the tradition of it. And then in theory, the security of it as well. But anyway, Jim, your thoughts on that question? I mean, the way I see it is, A, you get the job done. You know your vote's in. You never know what might happen. Like, okay, all of a sudden, like, you got a, you know, a sick grandparent that you got to, you know, get out of state to go visit 3 days. So I just want to get it done so that I'm done with it. But the other thing I would say why it's important to vote early is because, okay, that hour or two that you're going to spend driving yourself to go vote, getting in line, getting the job done, and then, you know, wearing your look at me, I voted sticker, is an hour or two you could have spent driving somebody else to the poll to get them to vote to get our candidates across the finish line. Anything you wanted to add on that?
No, I think you hit that pretty good. I would boil it down to two things. One is that, as you stated, weather is often a concern, particularly in rural eastern Montana, where you might have to drive many miles to get to a polling place. And so if something happens on election day that might prohibit you from voting, well, then you're not exercising one of the greatest rights you have as an American citizen. The second thing is for candidates like me and for party purposes is that we can go look to see who has voted by absentee already for purposes of doing chasers, if you will. So if someone sends in their absentee ballot and we know that they're generally, we know that they voted and we know they're generally a Republican voter, but then you have folks that we call them class for voters, Republican voters. If they haven't voted yet, then you want to reach out to those folks and make sure that they're going to vote too. And so it's an information source too to make sure that we drive out the maximum Republican vote.
That's a great point. So if you think about it, if you want conservative groups, Republican groups to be more efficient in their get out the vote operations, they may have 10,000 people or plus, right? I'm just throwing a number out. But let's say they have 10,000 people in your neck of the woods that they, let's say Gallatin County, they've got 10,000 Republicans that haven't voted yet that they want to make sure get to the polls. So they're going to be calling them. They're going to maybe even show up. They're going to try to get you to vote. And that 10,000 could be what wins the election in a U.S. Senate race, could be what takes back the Senate, could be the 10,000 votes that secures our borders come January, right? If they're wasting time calling you, then they're not calling somebody else that they need to get out there to the polls. So no, that's a great point there as well.
Yeah, and if I could follow up on that, Aaron, you and I are of an age where you remember the 2006 U.S. Senate election between Tester and Burns, where Burns only lost that election by 3,500 votes, was it? And look what's happened in the 18 years that John Tester has been in the United States Senate. And by the way, folks, that in itself, that race alone tells you how important these elections are. I mean, Tester for 18 years, and we had an opportunity to knock him off right at the beginning.
That's right. And it also tells you how there is a massive difference between Democrats and Republicans, and we see it on full display right now. Even putting the partisan stuff aside for a moment, although technically these city council elections are partisan, whether they want to call it that or not in some circumstances, but so you, I think, had the same skepticism I had about this best run cities report. So, yeah, you were talking with funeral directors, and even funeral directors are saying we've got a problem with transients in places like Missoula. Even in the fancy downtown districts, I was talking with a number of different service workers. And, you know, here you have these beautiful new hotels, right? Like, you know, Missoula is a beautiful city, and, you know, and downtown's very liberal, but you get out into, you know, the other neighborhoods in Missoula, very conservative. I mean, this is a town that was built by railroaders and loggers, right? And now other people are reaping the benefits of it. But that's who built this town, right? And then the university and the environmental wacko nonprofits moved in, and then the left kind of took over the politics, not just of the city, but of the county as well. And they've had these pro-transient policies, and everybody's dealing with it. You talk with all these business owners, whether they're downtown or further out in town, everybody's dealing with a transient invasion. And so it's just crazy that you're hearing it, even from funeral directors.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts there. We talked a little bit earlier about both of us being alumni for the University of Montana. So I'm going to date myself a little bit here. But I was a student here in the late 80s and early 90s. And I can tell you, Missoula at that time was still a logging town. And And I call it a hippie town. I mean, like the real hippies from the 60s.
The nice ones.
Yeah.
Not the angry, you know, pro-Hamas terrorist rallying hippies of today.
No. This is a great place to go to college. But along the line of you were talking about the business climate here, the other thing that the funeral home owner was telling me here is that in addition to having to deal with the transient problem, he pays, this is absolutely remarkable, over $100,000 in property taxes. And he was telling me most of that comes from the local levies that have been imposed here on by Missoulians on themselves. And so they're literally taxing their own businesses out of existence.
And then they pay taxes for what? Oh, well, we want open space. We want parks. Okay, yay parks. Yay, I love the running trails. In fact, you know, as we were under the lights for the Fusion fight Saturday night, it was so cool. Looking at Mount Sentinel, and I see that little trail up to the M. And I remember, man, when I was in ROTC back in the day, man, they'd drop us off on the backside of Mount Sentinel with our rucksacks. We'd throw our rucksacks on. We'd do a ruck run over Mount Sentinel, do the switchbacks down Mount Sentinel, go down the Kim Williams Trail, O'Dark 30, and it was so cool, right? If my back wasn't so jacked up, I would have tried to do one again here over the weekend. It's just crazy. State auditor race. Talk about the state auditor race and some of the big issues that are coming up in that race. I mean, do you even really have an opponent? It doesn't seem like it, but nonetheless, what do you see are the big issues that need to be talked about in this state auditor race?
Yeah, the big one is the rising cost of insurance for Montanans, particularly homeowners insurance. But this is a trend that's happening all across our economy. As you know, we have discussed in the past, of course, through my role in the Public Service Commission, the fact that due to the Biden economy, energy rates have increased by 30% across the United States. Same is true of homeowners insurance, is that people are being priced essentially out of insurance products. The other thing that's happening, of course, is that insurance providers in Montana are notifying folks who sort of live in the urban forest interface that they're not going to renew their homeowners insurance products because of wildfire risks. And there's two issues there that the auditor could deal with. One is that the auditor has the power to tell existing insurance providers, no, you're not going to cancel for that reason. Doesn't mean we can require them to insure new products. But the second thing is you look at some of the modeling that's being done to make these decisions on wildfire risk, and I'd say the modeling is not correct. What's really going on in that regard is that you have states like California and Colorado that are not properly managing their forests and their wildlands, and so you're having huge fires. And so the insurance companies are having to make up the cost of having to pay on those out-of-state claims by jacking up prices for Montanans.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, we pay for the poor policies of other cities, of other states. And so that's what's happening here. That's really interesting. I thought NBC Montana had a report saying that insurance is going up because of climate change. That's why your homeowner's insurance is going up. But yeah, the laugh. How else do you respond to that other than just laughing at a report like that?
Yeah, but you just hit on something, and it's true across every agency. As you stated, I'm the president of the Public Service Commission, and so I don't know if you saw, Aaron, we as a commission just sent a reconsideration motion to FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, about some rulemaking they did on transmission lines.
That's 1920, right?
Yeah,
Brad Molnar told me about this, because I remember, yeah.
And so it's the exact same thing. So we did a reconsideration to FERC saying, you know, you cannot charge Montana customers to pay for green policies in Washington, Oregon, and California. We're just not going to stand for that. And the same theory is going on in insurance for Montanans, global warming and climate change is, you know, being used as the prefect for charging Montana customers at a rate that's not conducive to what the actual risk is.
Yeah, they want to deliberately drive up your electric rates because of climate change, or they want to blame climate change. And then they're driving up your wildfire insurance, and then they blame climate change. We see this time and time again. They have, you know, let me just say it, piss-poor policies that make things worse. And then they capitalize off of it by just blaming climate change. So it's like they once again, they create the disease so they can sell you the cure, is what they do here time and time again, these folks on the radical left. All right, looks like we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. More with Jim Brown, candidate for state auditor, right after this.
Hi, I'm Avantika Chilakoti, host of The Modi Raj, a new podcast from The Economist. Narendra Modi has watched over a period of rapid growth in India, but he's also the front man for a chauvinistic Hindu nationalism. Now, he's eyeing another term as prime minister. What will it mean for India and the world? I've been trying to get inside his head. Listen now to The Modi Raj from The Economist, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats and leftist media hacks are still pushing the cheap fake gaslight to protect Joe Biden. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. On St. Patrick's Day 2001, 42-year-old Melissa Montoya disappeared in Dulce, New Mexico, after separating from her abusive ex. Her family's lawyer, Darlene Gomez, joins me to discuss how the recent discovery of skeletal remains could be a massive breakthrough in this missing Indigenous woman's case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Cheap fakes, deep fakes, misinformation, disinformation. All week, Democrats and Biden apologists in the media have been doing their darndest to convince us what we are seeing and hearing from Joe isn't real. Well, the cheap fake narrative they've concocted is going to backfire. By making such a hissy fit about the videos, they're actually encouraging more Americans to watch the videos, which, from any angle or vantage point, makes the president look like a decrepit senile shell who needs his Obama visiting angel to function. And worse than that are the so-called journalistic publications trying to distract from Joe by claiming Donald Trump is actually the one struggling. No one is buying it. Truly, these folks hate that they have to defend Joe. They don't want him as their candidate, and these attempts to gaslight voters are pathetic. If you need an example of cheap fakes, well, just listen to them. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
To borrow a phrase from religion, there are among us a number of people who can be called supermarket economists. These are individuals who pick and choose the portions of economic doctrine that they like and ignore the conclusions of economics that don't suit their purposes. In public discourse, supermarket economists so greatly outnumber genuine economists that when one first encounters the real animal, usually in a college classroom, the reaction can be a mixture of shock and disappointment. Maybe that's why we're rarely invited to parties. If I could change two things about policies affecting housing today, I would start charging market prices for water and stop applying changes in building codes only to new construction. Neither of these changes would be popular, but the status quo has distorted the market in ways that are incompatible with healthy economic growth. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy, man. We are going to be all across the state. We're going to start the week in Missoula on Monday. We're going to be in Kalispell Tuesday, Great Falls Wednesday. Start the morning in Butte on Thursday. Then we'll be in Bozeman Thursday night. Back in studio in Billings on Friday with Border Patrol rallies all across the state. Some other events that I'll be attending. Yeah, it's going to be a crazy week. Hey, if you're
EEC.com for more information on your cooperative membership. Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, the energy to thrive.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, who would have thought that, you know, somebody attending a, you know, a statewide association gathering for a bunch of funeral directors, that would be so much interesting content. But then that sure seems to be the case here. Hey, yeah, back to it with Jim Brown, candidate for state auditor. And, you know, he's represented the wool growers. He's the president of the Montana Public Service Commission. But the one thing the point that I was trying to make a few minutes ago, and then I got to reminiscing on the good old days when we would do ruck runs over Mount Sentinel and 5-mile runs across the railroad bridge through downtown Missoula with frost on our eyelashes, you know, but the point that I was trying to make is that, okay, so here you are in Missoula, you pay all of these taxes for services that you can't even enjoy. So, yeah, yay parks, yay open space, yay trails. And then you've got families in particular that feel they can't enjoy these services because of all the transients that are defecating in the water fountains. And we're going to talk, Sandy Vasica from the Missoula City Council is going to be with us to talk about that hot topic in the 9 o'clock hour. But there's another angle to this funeral director's meeting when it comes to the transient invasion in Missoula, right?
Yeah, this is truly remarkable. This is something I know your listeners don't think about. So the issue that was brought up to me last night when I was meeting with some of the funeral directors is another problem with the homeless issue and the transient issue here in Missoula is the fact that these people are prone to die, right, given what their lifestyle is. So the question becomes who pays for the disposal of this human body?
And which is very expensive.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And the amazing thing, of course, is from a public health perspective, we all know that a dead body becomes a disease issue. So what happens is that I'm being told by funeral directors is essentially what happens is that the city tells the funeral homes here, that, hey, you have a responsibility to dispose of this body. And no, by the way, this person is indigent. And so you're going to do a service for the citizens of Missoula and people of the state of Montana by disposing of this body on your own dime, business owner.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. But it's also reminiscent of, you know, what we see with the transient invasion in places like Bozeman, too, and here in Missoula, where we're broadcasting live from today. But it also is analogous with the illegal immigrant invasion that John Tester is responsible for, is that, once again, your money is going to somebody else, is going to services for other people that are, they are recruiting to come into Montana, illegal aliens, transients. And so you're paying more for everything because that's going to drive up your costs or your taxes if the taxpayer foots the bill. And so once again, you know, because of the transients that liberal city council members are bringing in, because of the illegal aliens that liberal senators like Tester are bringing in, we're all asked to pay more to give our stuff to other people, right? It's just across the board. That's their philosophy.
Yeah, and the remarkable thing in the scenario that I was talking about, it's one thing if the services that are being provided to these folks come from the public fisc, right? But this is a scenario where you're having a private business that is having to front the cost of a public health and safety issue. A private business has to assume the cost of that. It's truly remarkable.
And that's what they're all doing, is that all of these businesses downtown, further out into town in Missoula, are having to figure out how to deal with these public safety issues to make it all nice for the tourists, make it all look good for the tourists that are coming in the beautiful summertime here in the Garden City. Jim Brown, you can follow him, jamesbrown4montana.com. Maybe we'll see you at the border rally tonight. And then, man, you're heading to Kalispell next. You should just hop in the car with us.
I know, yeah. This just happened to be good timing. Apparently, I'm just going to follow you around, and we'll get together. And I'll end this segment by saying, go Grizz.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know you're on a Bozeman right now. That's all right. You're an honest man. Yeah, there we go. We'll make Jim pay for the gas, too, and we'll just blame it on climate change. You know, climate change, Jim, you got to pay for our gas. All right, great to see you. Thanks for popping in.
Good to see you.
All right, let's see. We've got actually a couple of very interesting folks from the University of Montana kicking off the 8 o'clock hour. Adam Hertz in the 8 o'clock hour. A lot more to come here with Montana Talks live from...